Jacinta, I could care less what you think. I've done a complete 360 on this. I know you're on tender hooks about it, but irregardless, you've got another thing coming.
Oh, you're killing me.
Now, there's a lot wrong with everything that I just said there, and Kate Burridge, our laid-back linguist, is going to tell us all about it. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm good, thank you. Now, okay, let's go through those. I could care less, what do you think? It turns out I could care less, which is what a lot of people say.
Which suggests you do care a little bit, at least.
Yeah, that's right. Is the correct way to say that is?
Well, I couldn't care less. However, I think a lot of these start with a bit of a joke. That one's actually been around since, I think, the 1930s, I could care less. But the next generation doesn't get the joke.
So it's just incorporated into the everyday speak.
I could care less was a joke, a play on I couldn't care.
And a few come up like that. I think a near miss is one of those, because if you think about it, it's actually a near hit.
That's right.
Yeah, so I think that's what people play with this, and then, you know, it's quite funny at the time, but then it's...
And then some of the others are pronunciation issues, right? So tender hooks versus tenter hooks, or I've got another think coming versus another thing coming.
Well, the think coming, this is the one that absolutely kind of blew my mind. Mm. We all say, as far as I know and as far as I've heard, you've got another thing coming. I know that a lot of people have said that to me throughout my life. But the correct sentence...
Well, the original one,
you've got another think coming.
That was in the 1880s, I think it was. So, yes, you've had a thought, someone doesn't appreciate that thought, and so you've got another thought coming, another think coming. Mm-hmm. But it sounds so wrong now, and that's interesting, isn't it?
That, yeah.
Because then it clashes also with pronunciations like nothing, something, anything as well. I think that might help.
Is that why we find it so jarring?
I think that's why some do, indeed.
There's one that we took a test online just to see how well we know some of these phrases, and we all got it wrong in the office, which was waiting with bated breath.
Oh, yes.
And the reason we got it wrong, and you can't tell when you're saying it out loud, is we assumed baited was B-A-I-T-E-D, as in bait.
Yes.
When you go fishing. But it's B-A-T-E-D, baited. That's a word I haven't heard outside of that context.
Well, it's the shortened form of a bait, and it simply disappeared from the language, except it got stuck in that one phrase, you know, wait with bated breath. And it's the same with tenter hooks. Tenter doesn't mean a lot in modern English anymore. Yeah. I mean, it's related
to
tent.
They were hooks related to, right, yes.
Yeah, so it was stretching the cloth. It had to do with weaving. So it made a lot of sense that you were in suspense, you know, tenter hooks. But it doesn't make much sense anymore because we don't have tenters or tenter hooks. So people remodel it to tender hooks.
Which is also strange. What sort of hooks are tender?
Well, not many, I wouldn't think. But it adds that extra little bit of meaning. It'll be interesting to see what happens, because the problem is in the case with think and thing, you know, at one point, well, it's murky, isn't it, between misuse and use. We've talked about that before.
Phrases that you have that you think people are using wrongly or that are driving you crazy, or that you have just woken up and realised that think is actually the correct word in that sentence, or the original anyway, give us a call this morning, 1-300-222-774.
Using wrongly, even that one sounded off to my ears. Is it using wrong or using incorrectly, or using wrongly?
Wrongly would be wrongly.
Right?
Using incorrectly or using it wrong?
Yeah. All right.
Sorry,
so there we go.
Wrongly.
Awkward. Awkward.
Well, there's an interesting one that someone's texted in over here, and I don't know whether they're asking the difference here or whether they're actually just accusing us of it. A drivel or dribble?
Oh, in which context?
Oh, you know when people text in every now and then say, you're talking drivel, or you're talking dribble.
Yes, drivel.
Drivel is the correct one there. What makes one phrase, like another think coming or something, you know, last long? What makes it enter the lexicon and become a part of our life where other phrases will completely disappear?
It's a really good question, Sammy, which linguists have been trying to sort out for years, because it's vocabulary, and vocabulary more than any other aspect is tied to, you know, cultural aspects and social aspects, wildcard aspects of humans. And, you know, we create thousands, literally thousands of words every year. I can't remember how many the Oxford English Dictionary tracked in 1 year, but it was, I think, close to a billion new uses of meanings or expressions. So only a handful will survive.
Okay.
So, you know, it's got to meet a need, but somehow it captures people's imaginations, it takes off. And, of course, the internet is another aspect to all this.
Someone has texted through and asked, what's about deep-seated versus deep-seated beliefs? that one often gets interchanged, doesn't it?
Oh, that's interesting, yes, because, again, you've got the fact that T between vowels often turns into something that sounds awfully like a D.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got that confusion there as
so
well.
So the correct one is deep-seated.
It's originally deep-seated, and yeah.
The seeded idea has an, it feels like it could be something like you seed something.
Yes, that's right. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
The one that always gets me is the homing in versus, you know, which has been remodeled to honing in. So homing in sounds a bit ordinary, a bit, you know, a bit unexciting. But it goes back to 1920s, I think, aeronautical jargon. Homing pigeons, of course.
Yes.
But hone has that extra bit of meaning that you hone your skills. So by changing it to honing in, which is now more usual, I would say, I hear that more often, that's a very good example of, well, if you say homing in, you're sounding like you're wrong, but, you know, then if you
is
say...
Is it okay to do these changes now? Things change, language evolves. Is it people can be pedantic about it, though.
Well, it's tricky because, well, I was looking at something hanging off my fingers, what we call a hangnail, which should be an angnail because it actually comes from anguish and it's a thing that hurts, as mine does at the moment.
Nail.
It's an angnail, yes. So, you know, if you say an angnail now, you're just going to sound wrong.
Right. People think you have a Cockney accent or something. Yeah.
1-300-222-774. Our wonderful grammarian, Susan from Kensington, joins us this morning. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. I'm actually calling you with my horsey hat on today because the one thing that drives me nuts is people who say, woe to go. Which is just not remodeled, Kate. I'm sorry, it's just plain wrong.
What's the correct one?
It's from go to woe. It comes from horse racing. You still hear race callers say it when a horse leads from go to woe, W-H-O-A, meaning to pull up or stop.
Oh!
But people have no idea how to talk to horses anymore, so they have no idea what woe means or how to spell it, so they call it woe to go, W-O-E, which makes no sense. It makes no sense.
and how are you with chomping at the bit or champing at the bit, since it's a horsey expression?
I'd say champing at the bit.
Chomping, it became chomping for a long time, didn't it, there, until everyone kind of corrected it. And we've gone back to champing as much as possible.
We've got an issue with the bit right now because someone texted in to say, is bitted a real word? I said the other day, I just got bitted by a blowfly and my apprentice completely lost it at me, carrying on that it's not a real word or proper grammar. And the same person also texted in to say, it's in my phone's dictionary, so it must be a real word.
Bitted.
Bitted. And bitted is a word, but just not in the context that this person's using it.
Yes, I got bitten, was that? Yes.
Yes.
So bitten is still, well, bit is one of these verbs that still has a very strange past participle in this case, the bitten form. That's
but
right.
But bitted is not the
all
correct
of
these
one. Verbs are being levelled out and being, we used to have hundreds of them, but now they're disappearing.
I like this one. I thought it was behind the ape ball until I had a, until I had a light bulb moment playing pool.
Yes.
That's from CP.
Keep them coming, 1-300-222-774. What phrases have you got wrong? Or what's one of the phrases that absolutely drives you a little bonkers when you hear it being spoken incorrectly?
Thank you so much, Kate Burridge, our resident laid-back linguist.
You're very welcome.